I think the key question in this passage is when the eunuch says to Philip, what's to stop someone from being baptized? What's to prevent me from being baptized, he says. And living where we live now, with our own postmodern 21st century London view of the world, we might think, well, nothing. Nothing. But then, in terms of being baptized, welcome into the community of God, there were a huge list of things that stopped him. Well, he was foreign, for a start. Not from the people of God. A Gentile, if you like. He was an outsider. He wasn't like those who were following Jesus so far. He's from Ethiopia. He's black in what is now Israel. He's also a eunuch. And in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, it actually says that anyone with damaged testicles cannot worship at the temple of God. And it doesn't get more damaged than a eunuch, really. So that keeps him from being baptized. Even for Philip to speak to him was risky. This Ethiopian eunuch is a total outsider. He's an alien. He's a stranger. All of that would keep him from being welcomed into the family of God. But he asks to be baptized. Why is baptism important, though? Well, as Delroy said, it doesn't bring salvation, but it is a mark of salvation. There's two places in the Bible where God promises to meet with his people, with us as individuals. And one of them is in the waters of baptism. The other is in communion, when we share communion. There are many places where God meets us, but where we're promised an encounter with God is in baptism and in communion. So baptism is important for that. It's important to have that public display of our faith. In modern law in this country today, a wedding has to be conducted in public. It's actually, if you're conducting a wedding in a register office or a church or any of the other places where you can conduct a wedding nowadays, which is wonderful, one of the rules in common with all of those places, one of the few rules in common in all of those places, is the doors have to be unlocked. This is in the rules. And any member of the public has to be allowed in. Now, obviously, with times of the pandemic, we're limiting numbers. A marriage has to be a public declaration for it to be a marriage. Baptism needs to be a public declaration. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus says there'll be people who deny me and say, I didn't know you. And when I come to meet them, I will deny them. In baptism, we acknowledge that we are now committed to following Jesus. A bit like that, the man coming out of the water in the movie, who's a criminal, he's been on a chain gang, but saying everything's been washed away. He's on the straight and narrow from now on. That is what baptism is about. And as I said, we believe as Baptists that believers' baptism is important rather than an infant baptism because of that act of the will, that decision that's part of it. Depends how hardcore you want it. My view on infant baptism is that there's only one baptism. The Bible's clear on that. So it's still valid. If someone has been baptized as an infant, that's still valid. But it isn't the best way to be baptized. Because of that lack of the will, we're relying on something our parents have done for us before we had any will or choice in the matter. What does baptism do? Like I said, it doesn't save us, but it gives us this seal of the Holy Spirit. And there's huge, huge symbolism I think the first video showed that really clearly with the people going in and then rising up as the words of the song met that. And the Bible talks about the symbolism of going. Paul of in Romans talks about the symbolism of being buried with Christ and rising again with Christ. So as we go into the water, under the water, we're buried with Christ. And then we're raised again as he was raised and as we will all be raised one day. For myself, I felt a powerful sense of love, a really emotional experience. And some people feel that and some don't. Emotions are not reliable when it comes to faith. They're helpful, but they're not reliable. Some people, it depends on our personality. It depends on how the Spirit wants to work in us and how we allow the Spirit to work in us. But whether we feel it or not, the Spirit fills us at baptism. And that shows itself in lots of different ways, some supernatural, but the most important way that shows itself is in the walking that straight and narrow, is walking and living a life of love. So baptism is vital because it confirms us in our salvation and sets us on our path for the sanctification, as it used to be called, old-fashioned word, but day by day being made more and more like Jesus. We're going back to our Ethiopian eunuch. Who do we know like that now, though? I don't mean eunuchs, and you may know a eunuch. Good luck to you. But who would we be excluding because of our prejudices? From Union Church, from Stroud Green Baptist Church. Who are the people that we see out and about in Crouch End, Stroud Green, wherever? And we think, oh, I'm not sure I'd want them in my church. What about a couple of the homeless guys that are always walking up Stapleton Hall Road with their shopping trolley full of, well, full of their whole possessions, actually? What about the very wealthy people that live going up towards Highgate? What about the people that are a bit too noisy or a bit too quiet? Fill in your own prejudices here. And we all have them. I have them. You have them. Church often falls into the habit, and it's not just church, of wanting more people like us to come to church. And if you look around most churches, many churches, you'll see that a lot of the people there are kind of similar. Not because of their faith, but because of their background. But that's not what we're called to be as church. We're called to be a family, a community of people who are united by a love of God and nothing else. Of course, there's more to this Ethiopian eunuch. We are also told that he's in Jerusalem to worship. So he's what the Bible calls a God-fearer. He's reading scripture. He's engaging. And don't forget, at the time of this, scripture was the Old Testament. What we now call the Old Testament was scripture. He was wanting to understand it. He was questioning. He was seeking. Isaiah 53 is an important passage in the Old Testament. It's often seen as a prophecy for Jesus and his death. It's still a controversial passage for devout Jews today. It's also a very difficult passage to translate from the original language, I'm told. So we need some humility when we interpret it, I think. So who are the people that we know who are like that, who are looking for answers? One of the groups that are looking to rent the building as we open up again is a man with a giant kind of orchestral gong. And I came across it. He was on Facebook saying he wanted to do gong session, and I said, "Oh, please book it with us." Apart from the music side of things, gongs are amazing things, and the technology, it's not just a boom, you can get all sorts of weird noises out of them, but there's a meditative soaking that goes on. I've not met the man. I don't meet most of the people when they're arranging our bookings. I know Luke and Margaret have. But he is looking for answers, and many of the people who come to that workshop will be looking for answers to modern life. How are we going to guide him and others towards the answer, towards Jesus? Who are the other people you know like that, who are trying all sorts of things to find peace, to find the meaning of life? Who do you have contact with like that? And your different clubs, many of you are involved in different clubs and groups around. Who are the people that are looking for the answer? And how are you going to lead them towards Jesus? You don't need to do anything. Philip isn't the one who stopped and said, let's get baptized. The Ethiopian did. When people are ready, they'll come to it. They'll be guided by God's Spirit at the right time. So as you're seeing people this week and the coming weeks, ask yourself, what's stopping them from being baptized? And ask God to speak to you and to them, to bring them to that place. We've not had a baptism for far too long. Far, far too long. We need one. We need one soon to build our faith, but most importantly, to welcome new people into the kingdom of God. We need to be praying and looking for opportunities for people to be baptized. Let's pray. Father God, this Ethiopian says, what's to prevent me from being baptized? And they buy some water, and Philip overcomes all of his cultural prejudices, and in obedience to your Spirit, baptizes this man. And we don't know where it went from then, as he returned to Ethiopia and shared the story, the good news of Jesus, and of how all are included in the kingdom. And for us, Lord, may we remember our baptisms with joy and with love. May we be ready to share the stories of our baptisms, of what led us to that point and how life was transformed. Above all, Lord, bring us into contact with people like this Ethiopian who are looking for answers, and help us to lead them to the one who has all the answers, to Jesus. Give us the words we need. Give us the courage. Give us the discernment and the insight we need, Lord. But above all, give those people a strong sense of your love. And may we see many sons and daughters come to salvation, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.